Pay attention. Oh, just thought I'd get your attention there. How many times have we heard that when we're growing up? Hopefully you don't hear that at work very often. I remember one commercial when I was growing up. It was Tom Peterson's, I think it was Furniture. And back then, TVs only had three channels, and then they played the Star Spangled Banner and went off the air or stayed gray and just hissed. But inevitably, I remember falling asleep, and then I'd wake up because this commercial, it started off by a gentleman that was Tom Peterson that would pretend like he's just knocking on your TV screen, and he'd say, "Wake up! Wake up! Wake up!" So that stuck with me and always woke me up, and I'm like, really? Turn the TV off and go to bed. But have you ever been given a task to do and then a while later you found out that your mind was wandering and you never really got to that task and you had to go back and try to really focus on that? When we're distracted and drawn away from things like that with something else, I ran across this comment that says, distractions are like thieves who sneak in to steal your focus and rob your time. I'll say that again because that was interesting to me. Distractions are like thieves who sneak in to steal your focus and rob your time. They may come disguised as a new thought that pops into your mind. That's one that happens quite often. I've done continuous improvement activities in manufacturing organizations, and that's one of the things that gets people off track when you're trying to do a continuous improvement Kaizen. And what we've learned to do, several of us, is you have a project list over by the side and you just write that over there because somebody will come up with, oh, what about this idea? Instead of going down that rabbit hole, you put it on the list and now you can put it out of your mind, get back to focusing on what you want to work on and know that that won't be forgotten rather than spending a bunch of time talking about that. But it may be from somebody that plants a seed in your mind that plants a thought when you're trying to focus on something else. Could be a quick movement outside. Squirrel. And look off there for just like my dog when he sees a squirrel and takes off running. Changes his focus. Or it could be LinkedIn or YouTube videos or other social media that distract our time from what we should be doing. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2. How can we guard against these distracting thieves? Have we heard people say, I'm great at multitasking? I've had people just come up and they're so proud of it. I'm great at multitasking. And that's one of my pet peeves, that if it's something physical, I agree. You can be good at multitasking. When I went to the United States Olympic hockey training camp, first day we got there, within the first hour, they said, we're going to teach you to juggle. And by the end of the week, you're going to be able to juggle and read a newspaper at the same time. All right, so that kind of multitasking where you're just juggling, which is just a physical activity, and then reading a newspaper so you can concentrate on something else. But if somebody says mentally I can focus on more than one thing, I disagree. So when people say they're multitasking, to me, they're getting little bits of things done instead of getting into the groove and focusing so that they can really get something out of that time by that focused attention that they would have there. Now, spiritual, no way. You focus on one thing when we are talking about God's Word and spiritual activities. Hebrews chapter 2, let's read verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which is at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Have you ever gotten down on your knees and you're tired and you start your prayer, or whether you're sitting in a bed or wake up in the middle of the night and you pray to God and your mind just drifts? You start off and you're diligent and then all of a sudden your mind starts to drift. You may have other thoughts that are popping into your mind and things like that. We must pay closer attention, and that's what I'd like to talk about today, paying closer attention to what we have heard. We must be attentive to God to be a part of His family. We must be attentive to God to be a part of His family. I know we listen to what God says, but are we really attentive to what He says to us? Give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. We must pay closer attention to what we've heard. Why? Because we have the danger of drifting away. We have the danger of sin that leads to death. And that was brought out in the previous split sermon. We cannot, as Christians, we cannot lose focus. Now we do because we are human. And we need to repent of that. But we have to be on our toes and be attentive. So a definition. Definition for attentiveness is giving a hearing heart to people or projects that need our concentration. Giving a hearing heart to people or projects that need our concentration. Now, an operational definition that I will give you, and one that when I was looking this up really hit me strong, was attentiveness is showing the worth of a person by giving undivided attention to their words and emotions. Now, there's other aspects of attentiveness, but this one fits well, showing the worth of a person by giving undivided attention to their words and emotions. Another one of my pet peeves, so you can start making a list if you'd like, but another one of my pet peeves is when you're talking to somebody and phone comes up and they say, just a minute. They have no idea. It could be a used sock salesman that's calling them. And I'm right there in their presence and they're saying, oh, well, this is probably more important than you. Really? Now, I don't mind if they look at it and say, this is the president. I need to take this. Okay, I get that. But when their phone rings and they pick it up and just say, I got to take this. All right. That's not showing worth of a person. All right. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. Because showing worth is important. When we show worth, we can show that to God by how we spend our time, what we spend our time on. Proverbs chapter 5. And we'll read verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow your ear to my understanding. So attend. That is the word kashab. And have you ever seen a dog when they hear something and their ears perk up? That's part of the concept here. The root word for kashab, and it's the only word in the Hebrew translated attentive throughout the Bible, describes the attentiveness of a son should give to his father's instruction. It means to prick the ears up. So just like a dog or a cat or other animals will prick their ears up because they want to hear better, potentially for a predator or a rabbit or a mouse that they might run after in the case of my dog. But in that case, you see their ears prick up, and that's important. That means I want to truly listen and try to understand better. Now, that needs to be what our ears are like whenever we're dealing with anything with God and with Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 78, because we'll further expound on this. Psalm chapter 78, and we'll read just verse 1. Psalm chapter 78, and in verse 1. I'll give you a second to get there. All right, Psalm 78 and verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Talking about that we should be giving our attention to God. Now, give ear, that's the word azan, A-Z-A-N. Now, azan is translated to give ear, and it means to broaden out the ear. So remember when I talked about a dog that would prick their ears up? Okay, now it's going one step farther than that. Have you seen an animal, and it's not as prevalent with dogs with smaller ears, obviously, but with larger ears, that their ears will fan out. So you see that with deer, you see that with sheep. When my children were growing up, we had 17 sheep on a little hobby farm that we were on. And all of them loved our animals, but Austrey, my third child, first daughter, truly loved those sheep and spent so much time with them. She was the one that they knew her voice. And when she would speak, not only would their ears prick up, but they would widen. Sheep do that tremendously. It's just really noticeable. So they would widen. So they turn towards. So like when I'm giving my dog a walk and his ears are facing forward, if I say Mac, then his ears will turn back towards me so he can hear. But with a sheep, you can really see that those ears will broaden out. So think about when we put our hand to our ear to be able to listen better, then that's the same concept that's here. Austri, my third child, was able to call to the sheep and they would turn their ears and broaden those out. They would hear her voice. They would hear mine too. They just ignored it compared to what Austri would do because she spent so much time with them. She could, in fact, for all 17 of them, call them by name and they would individually call back to her. That truly makes the Bible come to life when you see that. It was powerful to be able to see that. But their ears broaden out. And that's the concept here. Give ear. So broaden out your ears so that you can truly hear what God has to say. All right. Proverbs 4. We'll go back over to Proverbs 4. Not that far away. And we'll read verse 1 there to pick up another part of this concept. Are you staying attentive? Oh. Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 1. Proverbs 4 and in verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention, kasab, to know understanding. So here we have two words. We have the kasab that's there again, give attention to know understanding. But shema, hear, what it starts off with is the word shema. And that in the Hebrew describes our attentiveness to God and means to hear intelligently. Now, when you think about that, to hear intelligently. So we've talked about prick up the ears. So, okay, something's gotten our attention. Broaden those out so now we can hear better. Now we go another step with Shema. We say, now we need to listen intelligently. So that's where our mind gets involved in this activity, that we are intelligently listening. We're not just, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I hear that. Oh, that's nice. Oh, the weather's really nice over there. Oh, look at that squirrel. No, we're focused and we have attention and we're truly focused on one thing, and that is what God has to say to us. So here, Shema, that is to hear intelligently, my children, God talking to us, the instruction of a father. Now, that can be a physical father, can be God the Father, as we understand from the spiritual side, and give attention, kasab, pricking the ears out to know understanding. So getting to the point that, all right, if we just hear something, that's not necessarily understanding that. But now we're taking it to the point that we are, as Christians, supposed to have that level of understanding. And we do that as we mature, as we draw closer to God, as the Holy Spirit's working with us, that power that gives us that understanding. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And in verse 34. Proverbs 8 and in verse 34. All right, Proverbs 8, starting in verse 34, or just 8:34. Blessed is the man who listens, Shema. So that's to listen intelligently. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. So this is a concept of listening, but to listen intelligently. So here's four quick ways to be able to listen, each one getting deeper, if you will. And you can apply this throughout the rest of the sermon, another 2 hours or so. Oh, you're awake. That's good. You're attentive. So when you listen, first one is you can hear. So people can hear, but their mind can be distracted elsewhere. So it really doesn't land on anything. So it's like you hear it going in one ear and coming out the other ear. Okay, so that's a low level of hearing, of listening, and zero on the attentiveness scale. The second one is to hear it, but not understand, but you want to understand. So here you want to, oh, see how I played? Here is where you want to learn, so then you have to learn more. That takes action that you have to learn more. The third way is you hear and you understand. There's many concepts from God's Word that we already understand. And when we hear it again, that comes in and we already have that understanding. And that gets to the fourth point, that is then you will need to understand and act upon what you know. So the understanding can be, okay, we're going to listen intelligently, and you understand that. If you don't, you ask questions. That's back to point two. But the fourth one and the ultimate one is you listen, you take it in, you understand it, and you apply it. Okay? Not rocket science there, but it's pretty simple. Let's turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, because we've been in the Old Testament. Let's go now to the New Testament, and we'll look at this. Luke chapter 19, and we'll read verses 47 and 48. Luke 19, because this is where Jesus entered Jerusalem and drove out the money changers. And here we'll pick it up in verse 47. And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything. Why? For all the people were very attentive to hear him. So they feared the crowd and what the crowd would do if they were to do anything against Christ. So here we have attentiveness, and it's more than just listening. Here it is hearing and taking that in. Now you have a crowd that is engaged. If they're just hearing on that first level, if you will, if they're just hearing and they're there to listen, then that's not going to be a problem. But they were so attentive that they could see that, the rulers could see that, and they said, if we try to break into this and break this up, we're going to have a larger problem with this crowd on our hands. From the Character Journal on a white-tailed deer, characterjournal.com if you want to go there, but the white-tailed deer, and I'll read this, for the white-tailed deer, attentiveness is a matter of life and death. Attentiveness is extremely important for us, too. We have to be attentive to God and those around us in order to learn and to live and grow. A deer's ears swivel like radar antennas, enabling it to focus hearing in a particular direction. The deer's eyes are spread wide apart, allowing it to see most completely, almost completely around itself. The deer can focus nearby and distant on objects. Just throwing this in for extra. This is the eyes. At the same time, seeing what it's eating and watching for predators at that same time. But the attitude of readiness is what's important, because when they hear the crack of a stick or something else from a predator, again, it's the ears pricking up, broadening out, and then focusing on that sound and to where it's at. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. We'll take a look there at Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 3. An attitude of readiness to do what is true and right is what our attentiveness should lead us to. Attentiveness involves more than just listening with the ears. It involves listening with the heart, a desire to hear and do the right thing. So 1 Kings chapter 3. And we'll pick a little bit of it up here in verse 3, just the start of verse 3. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Dropping down to verse 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Dropping down to verse 9, we know a lot of this story. "Therefore, give your servant," this is Solomon responding to God, "give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" Now the word understanding here is shema. Surprise, surprise. To hear intelligently. So he's saying, God, I want to be able to hear intelligently your people so that I can deal with them. So then what happens in verse 10? The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding, to discern justice. Okay, we can read right over that. But guess what? That word for understanding is not Shema. It's a different word for the word understanding. It's bayin, B-I-Y-N. B-I-Y-N. So why bring this out? Because there's an actual difference in the meaning also. That word takes it deeper, and it's to hear, to heed what is being said, and to do. So God is taking it to make clear, to be able to discern, to perceive, to understand. So Solomon asked for, I want to be able to hear the people intelligently. And God says, I hear you, and I am going to give you understanding that's going to give you clarity and the ability to discern and the ability to perceive things that you can't possibly know and the ability to understand things that you can't possibly know so that you may have justice with my people. He takes it to a deeper level. Now, if we just read that through in English, we obviously don't catch on to that. So there's power in being able to understand and dive into some of these words. Verse 12, then, going on, behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise understanding, mind, a wise understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before, nor shall any like you arise after you. I mean, think about that. We call Solomon the wisest man that ever lived, and he truly is because God's word tells us that. But can you imagine the depth of understanding, the compassion that he would have? How powerful is that? And it comes from the Holy Spirit. We have that Spirit dwelling in us. So then verse 13, and I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. What do we use the wisdom God gives us for? What do we, each and every one of us sitting here, what do we use it for? Verse 14, so if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. Then I will lengthen your days. That's giving God a respect and an honor when we walk in God's ways, when we're obedient to his statutes and commandments. Attentiveness is like listening with the heart, a desire to hear and do. A desire to hear and do. God gave to Solomon, and he gives to us the ability to be able to understand his word, which gives us wisdom that far surpasses so many others. Not because, oh, we're so much greater than other people, but because we've been so blessed by what God has given us. You put it in your notes, you don't need to turn there, you know this one well, James 1:22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And the word for hearers, believe it or not, acroates, A-K-R-O-A-T-E-S, means to listen, to hear, but not with understanding. So if I'm looking at those four levels again, that's that first level. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Get our mind engaged so that we want to understand, second level, third level, we do understand, and the fourth level, to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Here's a story I ran across. One day, an older woman came into a lawyer's office. Abe sat up in his chair and listened. She told her story. My husband and I were slaves, the woman said. At first, we worked in Kentucky, but our master moved to Illinois. He wasn't allowed to have slaves in Illinois, so he freed us. One of my sons now works as a waiter on a Mississippi River steamboat. He's a good boy, but one day he made a mistake. He got off the boat when it stopped in New Orleans. That night he was arrested. Louisiana is not a free state. People there can own slaves, and they have a law against slaves walking around after dark. My son was thrown in jail and ordered to pay a fine, but he didn't have any money to be able to pay the fine. So the judge ordered him to be sold as a slave. I came to ask if you could help him. I have no money to pay you, but I beg you to help. Otherwise, I might never see my son again. Abe asked questions. So He didn't just on that first level hear. He is on the second level. He doesn't understand, so he has to ask clarifying questions to get to that level of understanding. So Abe asks questions to better understand. If I can free your son, how will he get back home? And she says, the captain of the steamboat says he'll bring him back. Do you know where they are holding your son? Abe asked, and when do they plan to sell him? The woman gave all the information she had. Abe looked at the evidence and agreed to help. So now he's gone from level two, where it is, I want to understand, to level three. He now has the information, put it together, the whole story. He has an understanding of that situation. So they talked about and this is Abe Lincoln saying, they are taking the rights of a free person. Abe declared, I will do something about it. So now he's gone to the level four that he is going to do something and act upon that. Abe talked to the governor of Illinois, but the governor said there's nothing that he could do for him. Abe wrote to the governor of Louisiana, and this did not work either. Something had to be done. Though the boy's mother had no money, Abe sent money to New Orleans, paid the boy's fine. The boy returned home to his mother, and Abe continued to listen to those in need, finding ways to help many more people and our country in a dire time. It would have been easy for Abe Lincoln to be able to just stay at level one, to be able to listen, pretend he cares, and I'm sorry, I can't help you. You don't have any money. I don't have any jurisdiction down there. But he didn't. He did what he could. He truly stepped through levels two, three, and four to be able to have that understanding and then act on it with what he could do. The heart of God wants in us a heart that's completely attentive to him. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Because more interested in God than our own needs is the type of heart that God wants us to have. Now, as you're turning there, I'm going to quote a scripture that you guys know already. So, Isaiah 55 and verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And the concept of that, and this is again under why we should improve our attentiveness to God, but the concept there is that God knows so much more than we do. So much more, and he knows better what is right for us and what brings wisdom to us, which is the application of understanding. So when we get to that point, God is what we have to rely on. We have to have that trust and truly rely on God for that. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25, you know this one well too. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So if we don't rely on God, if we're not attentive to God, then we are going to be led to death. Our way, man's way, brings death. Those who listen best learn most. Small sentence, a little bit shorter than what Paul typically does. So those who listen best learn most. How much do you learn when you're talking? How much do you learn when you're talking? Think about that. That's a powerful little sentence. How much do we learn when we're talking? Proverbs, we're here. Let's turn to Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. So son, give attention. That's kasab. Prick up the ears. And incline your ear. That's to broaden the ears. As on. Incline your ears to my sayings. We need to focus toward God and broaden out our ears so that we can listen. Listen with complete focus and attention. We have to be more than listeners. We need to be doers. Let's turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. This is powerful. John chapter 10. Not that all of God's word isn't, but this will make a strong point for us. John chapter 10. And in verse 27, and this again is to why should we improve our attentiveness to God? John 10, we're just going to read verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. How many times have we read over that? Quite a few. Now let me put it in perspective for attentiveness. So, my sheep hear, that's the word akouo, A-K-O-U-O. It means to hear and understand a message. So, my sheep hear my voice. So, just like with Austrey, the sheep would hear her voice and they would go to her if she called them. They would stay there and just baa back to her. If that's whatever she wanted, they had such a communication. It was phenomenal. But here, it's even more powerful when Christ says, my sheep hear my voice. And saying that we, as his children, we hear his voice. And that means to hear and understand a message. So we understand Christ's message. We are the ones that are called to this way of life. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. Okay, know is ginosko, G-I-N-O-S-K-O. That means to grasp the significance or meaning, understand, to comprehend. Christ knows us completely. He comprehends us. He understands us. He walked on this earth, so he knows and can have compassion for what it is that we're going through. He also knows that we can be overcomers, that we need to be. So my sheep hear my voice. We hear Christ's message, understand it, and trust it. And I know them. Christ knows us. Each and everything, action, thought that we have, Christ knows us. And they follow me. Follow is the word, I can't pronounce it, A-K-O-L-O-U-T-H-G-O. Okaluthio. All right, that's the best you get. But again, it has meaning for us. It means to be a disciple. So when we think follow, we read through that so many times, so we think follow, okay. But where's the depth in that? Because we can follow somebody. You can go on LinkedIn and you can follow somebody. Not even close. When we're talking about follow me, following Christ, it's to be a disciple. Attach oneself to somebody. Attach. Not just, oh, I'm going to walk alongside you for a while and I'll peel off and go do this. No. Leave your father and mother. Attach yourself to me. We are a disciple. So now when you look at John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. We hear with understanding. And I know them. Christ knows us. And we know that relationship. And they follow me. We have attached ourselves to Christ to become one. We abide with him. He abides in us. So let's demonstrate attentiveness to God. Let's go to Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5 and in verse 3. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 3. Because we need to spend time with God. And it's beautiful to be able to do that first thing in the morning. To be able to start your day. What a better way to start your day. Spend time with God. Psalm 5 and verse 3. My voice you shall hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning I will direct it to you. I will look up. So again, we can read through this simply, but my voice you shall hear. That's Shema, listening intelligently. But then the word look up is the word tsapaha. Okay. T-S-A-P-H-A-A. And it means to hope for. So when he says, and I will look up, that's looking up with hope. It means to look to God. I am going to look to you. You'll hear my voice in the morning because I have consistency with that, and that's important. And then I am going to look up to you, God. And that relationship drawing closer drives that deeper and deeper. Revelation chapter 1, and we're going to a lot of scriptures here, but it pulls all of this together. At least it did for me. Revelation chapter 1. And in verse 3, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So, blessed is he who reads and those who hear, that's the akal, hear to understand a message. We need to hear the words and keep. We need to listen and do. I know some of this may sound repetitive, but it's important. Turning now to 2 Corinthians 10, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. But we need to hear and hear the message with understanding. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. We need to remove the thoughts that distract us from God. Going back to the concept of attentiveness. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we've read that many times before. We understand we are to bring all those thoughts into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. That means we are to be focused. We are to have attention towards God. All right? The word obedience. So when it says to captivity, we focus on that, bringing every thought into captivity. But a couple words later where it says to the obedience of Christ is hupakouo. H-U-P-A-K-O-U-O. And it means bringing thoughts into the attentive hearkening with compliance or submission. Attentive hearkening. So the focused listening and hearkening to that with compliance, which is the action portion of it, or submission, which is going to be an action on our part to submit completely and wholly to Christ. So, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. All right. We are called to cultivate attentiveness to God. The more intimately that we know God, the more clearly we can distinguish God's voice from many others that are competing. Just like with Austrey when she was calling out to the sheep, they knew her voice. There was one time I was just completely shocked. The neighbor had said we could have the sheep go over in the yard. This was out in the country, so it wasn't like on some corner of a street in the city. But the neighbor was actually an artist. So I said, yeah, great, have your sheep out in my area. I'll sit up on my deck and I'm going to paint this beautiful view with sheep in it. So it's great. So Austrey and Esther go over there with the sheep. Well, next thing I know, it's lunchtime and Austrey and Esther are back in the cabin. And it's like, where are the sheep? Well, they're over in the field. Are you kidding? They're going to run off because it wasn't our area and it wasn't fenced in. And Austrey says, no, come here. So we went to the front deck and she went over there and it was a treed area. You could not see that field from our cabin. And she starts calling out, Lamb Chop. That was one of the names of it. She was our matriarch. So anyway, Lamb Chop. And then you heard a single, Bah. And then it was Texas. They named one line of our sheep after states. So Texas Baw's back. Then Carolina. Then Wild Boy. They knew her voice. It was powerful. And that's what we need to be able to know is God's voice. Out of the competing voices that we have in our lives each and every day. Because those competing voices are there. And they're challenging to be able to get our attention. And we can't let that happen. I don't know if you've seen, but there's a new board game that's out there. And it's called the Holy Spirit Board. And it's a board with letters on it and a little green cross with an open area that moves over this board when you ask it questions to spell out the answers. I couldn't believe this. Saw a video where a lady said, I have never had such a quick response to prayer from God. Can you believe that? I mean, this is trying to market to Christians, and I'll use that in quotes, to Christians, a Ouija board to deal with the spirit world, but not with the world that God would have us. We need to have discernment, and that comes from being attentive to God. This is evil, and it's disguised as good. And we know in 2 Corinthians 11:14, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. How many people see that? But if we don't take those steps to go from hearing to seeking understanding to understanding, and then having the understanding that takes us to the level where we have action as Christians, that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what's powerful and shows that we truly are God's called out and chosen ones. Ruth Haley Barton defines spiritual discipline or of attentiveness as the capacity to recognize and respond to the presence and activity of God, both on the ordinary moments and the larger decisions of our lives. God, a part of all aspects of our lives, needs to be. Last day of Unleavened Bread, we went down to North Carolina, spent with our son, his wife Kelly, and our grandson. Phenomenal time. Then that weekend we went to Gatlinburg for a long weekend, and our daughter joined us there. Phenomenal time. Well, we were walking down the street, and we asked Sterling, our grandson, 4 years old, what do you want to do? And he said, well, I'd like to be able to look at what I can do with some mutual funds and things, so I was going to get him in contact with Hal. No, he said, I want to play mini golf. It's like, great, okay, let's go play mini golf. So this is a great time. We're enjoying this. We're about halfway through, probably on hole number 5. Kelly hits a shot, and our ball goes flying way off and falls behind a tree, or so we think, and can't find the ball. So as we're walking to the next hole, then her husband, my son, offers, well, you can use my ball. And I offer, you can use my ball. And my wife offers, and so on. She says, no, I'll just watch. I'll just enjoy that. So walking there, I said a quick prayer. And I said, God, please just help us to find a golf ball, because we'd spent 7 minutes trying to find hers. I said, help us to find a golf ball so she can continue to have the joy that we are in this family opportunity. As we're walking up and Sterling's starting to tee off, because his were not putts, but he's starting to tee off, I look over to the right, and just behind this tree, I find not one, but two golf balls. Okay, some people say, oh, that's a small thing. Guess what? She was playing with a purple golf ball. Out of the 7 different colors you could possibly have, which is 14%, it was a purple golf ball. In fact, they both were purple golf balls. So, gave that to her, we were able to finish out. My point is that as we listen and understand, God wants to be a part of all aspects of our lives. How many times do we say, that's not worthy of praying to God for? How many times do we miss those opportunities? Because when you do that, that deepens your faith. And God wants to be part of all aspects of our life. I'll read this because I want to read it out of the New Living Translation. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Because God truly can, I know this is Ephesians 3:20, but he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. But here at Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, when it says pray about everything, that's the word pas, P-A-S. It means all manner of all means, whatsoever or whosoever. It's totally with focus on all individual components. So, pray about everything. What's too small for us to pray about? What's too small for us to pray about? An article in Crosswalk brought out that pray about everything means in this verse is to develop a state of mind which we are turning everything in our lives over to God. Even though we can't practically verbalize prayers about everything in our lives, we can live in such a way that we're aware of God's constant presence with us and we're trusting God to help us moment by moment. At work, had a lady in inside sales. She's going through a very difficult time with her brother who has autism. She came into my office and told me about that and said, I might have to be taking some time off. And I said, okay. And after we were done with the conversation, I said, I'm going to be praying for you and for your brother. And she almost teared up and said, thank you. How many times do we miss that opportunity because, oh, well, I don't want to have religion in the workplace? What does God expect of us when he says, let your light shine? Now, I'm not saying to abuse that and overpower somebody. If somebody doesn't believe that way, oftentimes we don't know. But I've done that a couple times recently, and it is just so endearing to people. Even to people that at work don't seem that religious. So, we need to be attentive. Let's look at an example, as I'm running out of time. The example of Samuel, because I think this is powerful. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. And start in verse 1. 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel 3, starting in verse 1. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at this time, when Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and therefore the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called for me. And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. And he went and laid down. And the Lord called again. We know that. And then the Lord called a third time. And he rose to Eli and said, this is verse 8, here I am, for you did call me. And Eli perceived, finally, that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Verse 10, now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Speak, as your servant hears. So, four quick principles from this on attentiveness. First principle is that there's the importance of consistency. So we need to be consistent. God is always consistent with us. We need to be consistent with God. So whether we have our time for prayer, whether we have our time for Bible study, occasional fasting, definitely meditating on God's word, we need to have consistency with that. We're called to be attentive at all times because whether God speaks loudly or softly, he's still speaking and wants to be a part of our lives, all aspects of our lives. We want to be attuned to hear his voice. A second principle is to be persistent and not quick to give up. So we saw Samuel, okay, called one time, called second time, and Eli's telling him, it's nothing. It must be pickles that you ate or something before bed. But he didn't give up. He heard the third time. He still went to Eli. And Eli finally got that. But three times wasn't enough to dissuade Samuel. He did not quit responding. And because Samuel was persistent and did not stop listening, the fourth time God called to Samuel and he was able to respond and speak for your servant hears. Samuel's attentive perseverance paid off. And he got to audibly hear the voice of God. How powerful is that? Third principle we can learn from Samuel is humility sharpens our attentiveness to God's presence. Humility, as a Christian, sharpens the attentiveness to God's presence. Read the passage numerous times, and verse 7 jumps out where it says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. It'd be like in a meeting, someone for the first time, you're meeting them, and do you truly trust them, or are you skeptical? If I come across somebody, I'm going to ask them who they are, what's your name, what do you do, what's your background, before I have that level of trust built up. And yet we saw that, and it's just like with Abraham, when he was asked to leave, he up and left without question. And Eli here is, here I am your servant, Lord. So He trusted implicitly, and we see the humility in not only key to being attentive that Samuel showed, but God's presence. It's also crucial to obedience to God's will. And the fourth principle that we can learn about attentiveness from this example is that our obedience matters. Our obedience matters. Notice that although Samuel received bad news, that's continuing on in the story, but I think we know that, about his mentor Eli, he still listened closely and was obedient to give that bad news to Eli. I'm sure that grieved Samuel. It was very difficult for him to do that. But he gave that to him, and Samuel shared that news and further developed a habit of obedience in his life. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, because it's the habit of obedience, this desire to honor God and follow His will, that allows us to more clearly know and understand God's will and have a deeper attentiveness for God. So Matthew chapter 13 and verse 15. Matthew 13 and in verse 15. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. The ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. God wants to heal. He wants to heal all the nations. There's a story again from Character Journal on the wood duck. And I thought this was powerful. So a pair of wood ducks work together building their nest. They're preparing for their young. When they get the nest complete, the mother wood duck lays one egg a day for 12 to 15 days. Now, it's amazing that the egg that was laid on the, let's say, the 15th day, if she did 15, that egg that's laid on the 15th day will hatch the exact same day as the egg that was laid on the first day. How does attentiveness allow baby wood ducks to hatch the same day? Because it is attentiveness. The eggs hatch on the same day because the mother and father wood ducks begin talking to their young while they are still eggs. In this way, the young ducklings learn to be attentive to the voices of their parents. As the day approaches for hatching, the mother wood duck begins to give instructions to the unhatched wood ducklings. Before long, you hear a chorus of peeps and cucks. It is cucks, not clucks. Peeps and cucks that come from the eggs. The ducklings are responding to their parents' voice, and they're also starting now to respond to their siblings' voice. These conversations between the adult wood ducks and their young bond them together and help to synchronize the hatching process, so all the ducklings break out of their shells within minutes of each other. Isn't that amazing? Within minutes of each other. Go a step farther. Attentiveness saves wood ducks' lives. So when the wood ducks are less than 24 hours old, their mother flies to the base of the nesting tree and calls her ducklings to leave the nest. The instruction could mean a jump of up to 50 feet for the ducklings. The ducklings that were attentive to their mother's voice before hatching scramble up the side of the nest and jump. Usually all the ducklings, called a clutch, jump out of the nest in less than 5 minutes. And it's this quick response that's very important and necessary because hungry predators also hear the mother's cry. And if they don't find safety in a nearby pond, the predator will kill them all. Oh, and by the way, when they're on the pond and the mother sees or hears a predator that's going to be nearby, she makes a sound and they become absolutely motionless until she makes another sound for them to be able to move on. Powerful. God is attentive to us. Are we attentive to God? God knows all there is to know about us. We can't hide anything from God. Nothing. I'm going to finish with John 10 and verse 27 and go on to verse 28 and 29. So if you want to turn there, John chapter 10. Because like the wood duck, we are to be attentive to the voice of God in our lives. We are to listen with our hearts, not just with our ears, not just with our minds, but put it into our heart. Then that will help us to draw closer to God, to listen and to follow, to not just be listeners, not just say, I have an understanding, but to do something about what it is that we know. And that's when the fruit of the Spirit is fully flowing out of us, but only when the Holy Spirit's flowing into us from this relationship. John chapter 10 and verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They follow me, and I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Pay attention.